Hey.
Hey, hey, hey.
I'm Nick.
And I'm Ange.
Welcome back.
To the Not So Super Mom podcast today, in honor of Pride Month, Nikki is going to share her coming out story with us.
So I'll just dig right in.
Yeah, just start at the beginning. There you go.
So I didn't know, like a lot of people, like, you know, you hear people say like, oh, I knew when I was 8, or I knew as early as I can remember. I knew early, but I didn't know like 8, like I didn't, and even once I realized I didn't want to be, so I didn't actually come out until I was about 17, but I knew probably from 13, 14 that I was different. Like that I wasn't like the rest of my friends, but I forced myself into the NSYNC girl band, boy band stage. Like I was like obsessed. I dated boys and, you know, like almost like to the point where I didn't want anyone to suspect it. So I dated the captain of the football team and captain of the wrestling team in high school and, you know, tried to hide myself as much as I could because I just didn't want to be different. Like there was nothing wrong with being gay. There was nothing. My mom and dad had many gay friends, and I knew that there was nothing wrong with it. I just didn't want to be different. It wasn't cool. You know what I mean? Like, I
Yeah,
don't
it wasn't
know. I just,
something that when we went to high school,
no. I mean, I graduated in 2000. I just wanted to fit in. Like, I just wanted to be normal. I was already a little on the bigger side, so like I didn't have that going for me. And then like there was this, like, I knew I was gay, I knew I was different, but I did not want anyone else to. I don't know, like I'm much more comfortable in my skin now, obviously, but like back then I just didn't want anyone to suspect it. So I was like, I gotta date these boys and everyone has to see me with the boys. Like, you know, oh, there's Sophie. Say hi, Sophie, everybody.
Hi, Sophie.
Sophie sees another dog. Sorry, everybody. I have to podcast from my garage because there's kids in my house and then the dogs are out here. So this is what I get, I guess.
It's one or
Either we get
the
interrupted by the kids or
other.
we hear the dogs barking in the background. Dang it.
Right. It's
Anyways,
fine.
so I didn't want to be gay. I knew that I knew that my parents would love me. That wasn't an issue. I think before anyone comes out, they try to do like test runs or whatever with they do like test runs with people that they think that they are afraid, you know, that will react different. So I have two sisters. I have a sister 13 months younger than me, and I have a sister 4 years younger than me. So when I was probably 17, right before I came out, so I had my other sister was 16 and my little sister was 13. When I asked my little sister, like, what would you do if I told you that I was gay? And she was like, I don't know what I would say, but you wouldn't be allowed to be around my kids.
Ooh.
Now she's 13 years old, okay? And so like that was like, what the fuck? Like, you know, I was just, God, like this is what people are gonna be like, you know what I
Did
mean?
your heart break a little bit?
A little bit, but you know, like, I mean, I think at the time, like, she was my little sister, so like, or is my little sister, so I took what she said with a, you know, I took it to heart, but like now looking back, she was 13. Like
Right.
she is literally one of our biggest supporters now. She was in our wedding. You know what I mean? She didn't mean that. She didn't even know what she was saying. It wasn't fair for me at 17 to ask my 13-year-old sister that and take that. But I would be lying to say it didn't break my heart a little bit. I
Right.
mean, it did. I was just like, whoa, really? Like, I mean, like I said, my mom has several gay friends. So like I was just kind of like, whoa, you know? And then I asked my other sister like a couple of days later. I needed a couple of days to come back from that, and she's 16, you know. And I said, you know, how what would you do if I told you I was gay? And she was like, I wouldn't give a shit. What am I supposed to do? And I was like, oh, like she's like the even to this day probably one of the most non-judgmental people you'll ever meet in your life. And I was like, okay. So this is how it can be. Like it can be like this. So anyways, my mom's sitting down, the actual coming out part. So my mom sits us down. There was four of us grown up. Three of us are girls. We were the oldest three. Mm-hmm. And then my brother is the youngest and only boy. So she used to sit us girls down sometimes. And, you know, she had us all 17, 16, and 13 sitting at the table. Like, you know, if you guys need birth control, you need to talk to me about it. Like, you know, you need to not have babies. Like, there's ways to prevent it. Blah, 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 blah. And let me back it up a little bit. So my mom had asked me probably 4 or 5 months before this particular conversation if Chris and I were together. She asked me, and I lied because I lied for many reasons. I wasn't ready to come out, first of all. Like, mm-hmm. I wasn't even really ready to admit that fully to myself, let alone to, like, let other people know. Mm-hmm. And if you know my mom, you know, like, I love you, Mom, if you're listening, but she's got a big mouth. My mom has a big mouth. I wasn't ready to tell anybody and then her to tell other people. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So...
And for those that if this is their first one they're listening to, Chris is her wife. So she's, yes. Yeah. So,
yes. Yes. I lied. I also knew that if my mom knew we were together, that Chris wasn't gonna be allowed to spend the night anymore. So, you know, I had that too, but
right.
Anyway, so when my mom was sitting down with us at this talk, this birth control talk, she probably had a couple times in my life. And I'm like, I don't really need birth control, Mom. It's not going to be an issue for me. And she's like, well, it might not be now, but you're 17 years old and you're going to be having sex soon. And, you know, if you need something, you know, you need to just let me know. And I was like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to need birth control. And she's like, why, you gay? And I was like, yeah, I am, actually. And she was like, you're fucking gay? And I'm like, yeah. And she was like, I fucking knew it or something. And then she proceeds to start bawling her face off. Like, mm-hmm. she's crying. And I'm so confused. I'm so confused. Mm-hmm. What is happening right now? You know what I mean? Like, why are you crying? She has more gay friends than me.
Right.
Like, why are you crying right now? And she's like, I'm never going to see you get married. And I'm never going to see you have a baby. And, you know, all of these things, which we all know now, I am both married and have a baby.
Right.
In fact, I got married twice because I got married the first time and it wasn't technically recognized in Michigan. And then when they made it legal, we got married again so it could be, you know, legal.
Mm-hmm.
And we could go on her insurance and stuff. But, like, yeah, it was I was like, whoa, like, whoa.
So looking back, like, do you understand why she was crying a little bit? Are you still kind of, like,
as a mom, I understand a little bit, like, you know, you just have all of these dreams and aspirations for your kids, and being gay or struggling with anything is not part of that. So anytime that comes up, I do understand that a little bit. I mean, I told my mom even at that time, Mom, it's not 1950, like, there's science, we can have a kid, like, you know what I mean? We can get married. It'll be fine. Like, there was never a part of my brain that thought that the life that I have right now wasn't possible. Mm-hmm. Never. Like, Chris, there was a part of Chris's brain that thought that she was probably just gonna never have kids and never get married. And she was made herself okay with that. Mm-hmm. That was never an option for me.
And I think maybe she was afraid, because even though it wasn't 1950, when you and I were younger, it wasn't, yeah, like, people weren't openly out as for much, sure, as they are now, and it wasn't, yeah, as widely accepted. So for, I almost, sure, feel like she was almost maybe, like, sad that she was afraid people were gonna discriminate against you or something like,
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was crazy.
How'd, I mean, you tell your dad?
I didn't tell my dad. My mom did. I told you my mom has a big mouth. I didn't want to tell my dad. My dad is a very quiet, stoic person. He doesn't give unsolicited opinions. And I couldn't tell him. In fact, I wanted to tell my mom. I wanted my mom to not tell anybody. But my mom and dad don't keep secrets from each other. And Chris and I don't either. You know, so right. I get that now. And she's like, I have to tell your dad. I can't. You have to tell your dad, or I have to tell your dad. But you have to do it within 24 hours. Because I can't know this and not tell your dad for a long time. Mm-hmm. He will be upset with me. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, all right. So I'm like, you can tell him. I ain't telling him. So I didn't tell him. And he didn't really say much. He didn't say anything either way.
Were you there when she told him? Or?
No, nope. Nope. No. And, you know, I found out. Okay, so I told my mom, and I knew my mom was telling my dad, and then I thought that was it, right? Like, I thought that's as far as we were going. She said she had to tell my dad. I asked her not to tell anybody else. She said, okay, whatever. So I knew, I didn't think anybody knew. And then this was probably, let me see. So Chris and I got together in December. This was probably like February or March that this stuff happened. Okay. We weren't together very long before, before, you know, I came out. I didn't stay in the closet in a relationship for very long. So I found out that everybody else knew, like my dad's whole family, and my dad's one of eight. Okay. So my dad's whole side of the, I didn't even know. And this is how I found out. My family lives like in a rural area. Okay. In Southeast Michigan. And I went out there, and everything out there takes 30 minutes to drive to. So my aunt and my uncle's wife or girlfriend at the time, want to know if I'll go for a ride with them to the beer store. So I'm like, all right, you know, we're going to be gone an hour. You know, it's like 30 minute drive there, 30 minute drive back. So in the car, my aunt's girlfriend or my uncle's girlfriend tells me basically that everybody knows that I'm gay. And I'm like, what? And I look at my aunt, who I'm very, very close to. And it was one of my mom's best friends growing up. It's actually my dad, one of my dad's sisters. And I'm like, you know? And she's like, your mom told me. And I'm like, motherfucker. You know what I mean? Like, God dang it, mom. You know, like, and then I was a little bit pissed off. Like, okay, so how long have you guys known for? I'm sitting around here walking around letting people talk to me about boys and shit because I think that no one's knowing. And I look like an idiot. So how long have you guys known for? Oh, my aunt knew from basically the weekend after I told my mom.
Oh, okay.
And then it just slowly spread from there, you know?
Right.
But it was a blessing and a curse. Like I said, I was annoyed. I was aggravated that my mom did that and that she told people. And, you know, when I confronted her with it, she was like, Nikki, that is my best friend. That is my best friend. Like, you're not going to tell your best friend if your kid tells you something like that. And I'm like, all right. I mean, I tried to understand. I was still upset. But it ended up being a blessing because all of the people that I was afraid would think something or that I had heard in conversations make some gay joke or, you know, whatever. Like, they were my entire family was completely supportive. And if they're not, they'd have never made it clear to me. If there are people in my family on either side of my family, besides I have one uncle that it's my mom's only brother and he found Jesus and he likes to preach to me sometimes, but he is not innocent himself. So I literally take that with a grain of salt. I don't fucking care.
Okay. So I have to ask a couple questions.
Okay.
So you said like what your sister said, when you did the what if situation and that she's supportive of you now, but like, how did you actually tell her like, okay, I am.
She was at the table. Me.
Oh, she, and both oh of my so everybody were at was the there.
Table. Okay. Yeah, we were all together. And honestly, like even at 13 years old, even though 2 weeks prior to that, she answered the question completely different. From that moment on, from the minute she found out, it was fine. Like it was like my mom told my aunt told whoever, and whoever told whoever, and everybody knew. And it was a little embarrassing because I just felt like I was the only one that didn't know that everyone knew all this about me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It ended up just, I didn't have to fucking tell everybody. And that was okay with me. That's not okay with some people. I mean, you can't, what my mom did is not okay completely because you don't get to out people. Like people have to come out in their own time. You know what I mean? My wife, Chris was in the closet 10 years of our relationship. Like, I mean, like probably 9. And really, I mean, with the people who are super important, her grandma and stuff, like, she calls her Busha, but she, you know, she was super afraid for her to find out her dad. You know, she had cousins that knew, you know, the cousins of hers that we hung out with regularly, they knew we were together. You know what I mean?
Who were you the most scared to tell in your circle?
Probably my dad.
Yeah.
Probably my dad.
And how did you come out to your friends? Did they just figure it out because you and Chris like started holding hands and stuff, or did you come out and be like,
no, we didn't do a whole lot of PDA in the beginning because we didn't, you know, it was a little embarrassing and I didn't want everyone staring at me or making comments. I just wasn't prepared to deal with the potential discrimination, so I just didn't do it. You know what I mean? I hid it. But I told the friend that I ended up moving out of my house with when I was 18, we got an apartment together. And when I told her, she was like, yeah, we know. Yeah. And I was like, she's like, yeah, you just stopped dating Charles and you're hanging out with Chris every day. Like, yeah, we knew.
So, okay. So your friends figured it out. Obviously you were open to your family. Chris was not open. You guys are out, and then you guys were in school. You guys met in school. So like, how did you guys come about? Like, how did you guys even become more than friends without being openly out?
So Chris was out to me 100%. Like, okay. So let me tell you the backstory. So Chris and I met in third grade. Okay. Chris came to our school in third grade, the school that we grew up and we went to, and then we went to elementary, middle school, and high school together. We didn't talk all the way through middle school. We didn't talk in ninth grade. We started talking like at the end of our 10th grade year in high school. And then we just became best friends. So like in the course of becoming best friends, she came out to me. I still did not come out to her. And then we were going to these, we had a lot of classes together our junior and senior year. And we were going to these like these meetings. They were trying to put this well in our city that they didn't want them to put in. And one of our government classes, like we were able to go to these well meetings, take notes, turn them in, whatever. So we would go sit at these meetings and basically flirt. Like we would write letters back and forth to each other, and we're flirty, right? We're writing notes for this well meeting, but we're flirting with each other on these other notes. And then Chris went, and the summer between 11th and 12th grade, she became a like a foreign exchange student. She went to Australia to go to school.
That is so cool.
So she did that for like, she was gone for like 45 days or something like that. And when she came back, even before she left, I almost told her. When I wrote her note, because, you know, we used to write notes back then. When I wrote her a note for her to read on her 23-hour plane ride, there was a part of the note where I was like hyping it up. I was like, I got to tell you something, and I don't know how you're going to react, blah, 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 blah. And then I said something stupid, like, I like popcorn or something. Like, I didn't actually tell her that I got what I wanted to say. Well, December of our senior year, she ends up, we used to give each other notes every day, to read whatever. And in December of our senior year, she gave me a note, December 5th, 1999. I'll never forget it. Aww. She gave me a note, and basically I still have the note. It basically says in there, like, I like you more than a friend. Like, I like you more than I should is what it said. And then my cousin, who was like my sister growing up, she went into labor, and I was allowed to be in the delivery room. So on December 6th, I didn't go to school. So Chris thought I didn't go to school because she gave me that note the night before. Oh, and it had nothing to do with that, right? It had nothing to do with that. So then she almost didn't want to talk to me because she was embarrassed or thought that she fucked our friendship up or whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. And she didn't. The day we celebrate our anniversary is actually the first day we kissed, not the first day that we were together, you know? Mm-hmm. So December 12th was our first kiss. So it took from the 5th to the 12th for that to happen. So that's the day that we celebrate. Yeah. So that's how we came about. I mean, we were just best friends, and, you know, it was hard. We didn't want to fuck that up. You know, we were really great, great, great friends.
Right. And,
yeah.
So, you moved out shortly after you graduated, right?
Yeah, out. Oh yeah.
Yep. Out of your mom's house. And then she stayed at home while she went to school, mm-hmm. and did all that. And then you were out at that point. Like, when you moved out, you were out, like, basically to everybody, right?
Everyone but Chris's family.
Okay. And then she was not. So like, what was your guys' biggest struggle with that? Because it had to be hard to like hide the relationship in some parts, you know, like.
Yeah. Well, like, okay. So her dad knew that we were together, fairly within a couple of years. Like, it wasn't 10 years before he knew. It was 10 years before, like, you know, she didn't really, you know, talk to her mom too much. So like, we weren't worried about her mom. Her mom knew when we were in school, when we were young, her mom knew before most people knew. And she like helped us. Like, she would like, you know, tell us like, Nikki, you tell your mom this, and we'll tell, you know, her, Chris's stepdad, you know, we'll tell him this and you guys can go do this. Like, she would like actually help us be able to like go on dates or hang out or, you know, whatever. Like, you know, she'd be like, well, we're not going to be home until this time, so you guys can go to the house at this time. You know, like, she'd tell us specifically, like, we're not going to get home from work until 7. So if you guys want to go to the house after, you know, whatever. Like, she was like super, super, super cool about it. Mm-hmm. And then like, you know, they had like a little issue and then she was not really like around too much after that. And then Chris's dad, he's like super Polish, super Catholic. That's how Chris's whole family was, which was why it was so scary for her to come out. Like, they're, you know, they were just very religious and she didn't want them to have to go against their own grain to accept her, but she didn't want to be shunned. I mean, she loves her family, mm-hmm. as do I, you know what I mean? We love that side of her, you know, our family. So she was very, very nervous for her Boucher to find out.
Mm-hmm.
Very nervous. That was her biggest thing. Our biggest struggle, I would say, you know, I still came to Thanksgiving and Christmas and Easter and whatever. And when she finally did come out, she actually had an uncle. Like, yeah, some of us knew. I mean, you have naive family members that just thought you guys were best friends. But there was some of us already knew. You can't hide that shit. It was obvious. Right. So like, you know, some of them did already know. But again, it was the same thing on my side of the family. Like, we were so afraid. And Chris was really so afraid. I wasn't as afraid as Chris because I feel like I just went through that. Like, I was terrified. And then now everything's fine. You know what I'm saying? Like, so like, I knew that feeling was potentially only her. Like, it wasn't what her family was going to think. It was her, you know? So, you know, I wasn't as scared to tell her family. It also wasn't my family. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
She was terrified. So I don't think she actually told her Boucha until a few months before we got married, to be honest with you. So we got together in December 12th of 99. We got married the first time December 12th of 09. Okay, so on our 10th anniversary. And I think she told her Boucha like March, you know, like January, March of the year we got, you know, like right before we got married, which she already knew. She already knew. She knew that we were together. You know what I mean? She just didn't say anything.
Well, because I mean, best friends go to holiday stuff, but not like every holiday, you know, and you guys are probably making goo goo eyes at each other. Mm-hmm. Like, you know,
and that's how my mom said she found out. Like, that's what made her ask me. She was like, I was like, why'd you ask me if me and Chris were together? And she was like, because you don't look at your friend the way you guys look at each other. And I was like, oh, okay.
And then you were like, oh, that's cute.
And I was like, no, we're not together because you're not going to let her spend the night no more. Like, you know. But like she said, she's like, I have to treat you like I treat the rest of my kids. And I'm like, why? She can't get me pregnant. That's why you don't want my sister's boyfriends here. Like, you know, and she's like, no, because that was what my mom was like. We didn't really get STD or sex talks. My mom was like pregnant, like, don't get fucking pregnant. Like, so like, you know, I was like, well, Chris can't get me pregnant. Like, their boyfriends can get them pregnant. And she's like, no, you want to be treated the same. You're getting treated the same all the way around. Their boyfriends can't spend the night. Your girlfriend cannot spend the night, period. I thought it was dumb back then. I get it now. Like,
yeah, you got it.
You know what I mean?
Okay, mom. Yeah.
All right, I guess. Yeah.
So you would say, and then I don't know, because when did she move in with you? Because you guys lived apart for a while in the beginning of the relationship.
Yeah, her brother lived with me before she did. Her brother ended up moving out of her parents' house when he was like 15, about to be 16. And he moved in with me. I had a 2-bedroom townhouse that, you know, nobody was in the second room, and he was about to go live with his aunt on like a couch somewhere, and he ended up coming to stay with me. And Chris didn't even live with us yet. Like, she didn't move in with us until pretty much right before she graduated college, so she was like 22, and I lived on my own since we were 18.
Yeah,
like, I literally got my apartment when Chris was on vacation with her dad, and me and my parents had got into an argument, and my dad told me, like, you don't like the rules here, find your own place to live. And I did that weekend. Like, he told me that on Friday. By Monday, I was moving in my own place.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of, like, or have you guys, or what kind of discriminations have you and Chris encountered as a couple?
I mean, we have not had a ton, to be honest with you. There was a couple of different times when we were like back in the days when we went and hung out at the bars, but you know, like a guy would hit on me or Chris, and you know, you tell them at first, like, I'm taken, and they're like, oh, you can't have any friends? Like, okay, well, I'm gay. I'm like, even if I could have friends, you ain't the one I want. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and then they're like, then they get all offended, like, oh, you're gay, you just ain't had the right dick yet, blah, 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 blah. Like, listen to me. If women were gay because of a bad sexual experience with a man, they would all be gay, okay? Don't come at me with that shit, okay? That ain't why I'm gay. And you'd be like, oh, you just need a right dick. I'm like, you need the right dick. You need the right dick. You know, like, I like, no. And he's like, well, how do you know? How do you know? How do you know? How do you know you don't want to suck your boy's dick? How do you know that? Like, what do you mean? How do I know? I just know. Like, I just know. I don't know how to explain that to people. Like, cause, okay, I'll tell you something about me. I've never been with a dude. I've never been with a dude. Just like a dude knows he don't want to be with a dude, and some girls know they don't want to be with.
So you've dated. You've dated a guy though.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. He tried.
Did
he
you kiss him?
I wouldn't have sex with him though.
Have you kissed a guy?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. We've done little touchy feely type shit like that, but like, I ain't never had sex.
And you were like, ill.
I mean, you know, not exactly, but it was like ill when it gets to the point of like actual sex. I'm like, I'm not trying to bang a dude. No, no. I know I'm gay now. Like, you know what I mean?
Is that really like the only discriminations you guys have had though?
Our 17-year-old had one that was probably the hardest for me. He played football. He was 8 years old, his first year playing football. We invited the team to our house. And then we invited a few of the boys to spend the night. Like a couple of the kids wanted to hang out and stay the night or whatever. Well, there was a mom on the team, and she had pulled me to the side and basically said, like, my son's not going to spend the night because I've only explained to him gay as far as the Bible is concerned. And the Bible says that it's wrong and against God and blah, blah, blah. So I don't want him to be here and uncomfortable. And like, I was like, okay, because at first I'm like, I mean, that's his loss. Like, we got all these snacks and all this fucking, you know, fun that these boys are about to have, and he's not going to be able to stay here because we're gay, but that's up to you. Whatever. I wasn't as mad about it, but my football family went psycho. Like, they were pissed off. Like, who the fuck is she? Blah, blah, blah. Like, and you know, Chris and I are super, especially me, super involved in everything that goes on in our city. Like, you know, I'm on the PTA, I'm on the boards to the, you know, the youth sports around here. Like, we've done a lot. Okay. I mean, I'm on the sexual education advisory board in our public schools.
Right.
So, I mean, we know a lot of people. So like, they know we were good people. And like, this was the first time I had met this lady, you know, whatever. And then she's like, oh, my kid can't spend the night. And they kind of went after her a little bit, like, you know, like, what's wrong with you? And why would you fucking do that to them? And, you know, whatever, to the point that, I don't know, probably towards the end of the season, she ended up coming up to me and telling me that she was sorry. And, you know, she didn't really have any experiences. And, you know, she only knew what the Bible said. And unfortunately for us, the Bible says that it's wrong. And I don't even agree with that, but whatever, we won't even get into that part of it. But, I just like, I don't know. Like, I was like, okay. I mean, thank you. I appreciate you saying that. And she's like, oh, and by the way, my son can spend the night at your house. He's never spent the night. I mean, I'm not going to do that. You know what I mean?
Right. But didn't you guys have like something with a photographer or something like that?
Oh my God. When we were getting married. Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you two short stories. So when we were getting married, we had a photographer, a DJ, and a cake decorator. All of them tell us that they, at different times, obviously, that they were not comfortable doing things for a same-sex marriage. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there were people in my world up in arms about that, like pissed off. And I'm going to be honest with you, being in a same-sex relationship, I don't want you to give you my money for my same-sex marriage, as you call it. If you don't want to do it, I don't want to. I don't want you to do a half-assed job or struggle to fucking do it. Like, you just don't get my business. That's fine. Chick-fil-A right. Don't get my business either because they don't like gay people either. Like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, you don't, I don't have to give you my money, and you don't have to like me. I don't care.
Right.
Somebody will. So, you know, we did that. But the biggest one, I almost forgot about this. I'm glad you brought it up. not too long after we got married, there was this photography company. Her name was like Elizabeth something something. She was out of like Milan, Michigan, right?
Mm-hmm.
She did this photo competition where you posted a picture of you and your spouse, and then you had to have all your friends and family go like her page. It was a Facebook competition, like her page. And then once they liked your page, they had to like your picture. And the person with the most likes got this like big photo shoot session for free. Okay. So I did it. Well, we have a lot of support. I mean, we do have a lot of support. We had 250 people at our wedding reception. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I used a wedding picture. And I posted. And we were winning. And then the night before it was set to be announced that we won, I got a Facebook message from multiple, but this particular one that I'm talking about, I got from someone I do not know. Okay. Never met this person in my life. And basically it was screenshots from her phone showing pictures that this photographer was sending messages to other people in this competition, begging them to have their friends and family like the second place photo because they were so far behind us. There was no way for anyone else to catch up besides the people that were in second place. Okay. Mm-hmm. So she wanted everyone to go like the second place photo and then basically spit this like ridiculous game about how, you know, she doesn't have a problem with anyone, but this just makes her uncomfortable to have to, you know, do a same sex couple. And she had no idea whenever we posted it that we would be anywhere near winning, let alone the winners. And, you know, blah, 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 blah. And she just went on this thing. So, like, she was basically sending it to every other person in the competition. Can you please tell your family to go like this page and or this picture instead?
Wow.
So that was like,
wow.
Wow. Like, you literally went out of your fucking way to make sure that we didn't win something that you started. Like, you had this competition. It didn't say straight people, heterosexual couple, competition.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But she was, and you know what? I literally had the news contact me about that one because I posted it on Facebook and I blasted her ass for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't end up doing the news story because it was, I don't know. I just didn't want to be out like that. But I don't mean out of the closet. I mean like just on TV and display like that. Like it was an embarrassing thing for me. You know what I mean? A little bit.
Right.
Cause like, wow, I'm this different that you have to go out of your fucking, like, I don't know. I don't care now. Like I would have laughed in that lady's face. Laughed. Like if she did that to me now, because it's just not as deep to me anymore. Like we just have so many people that support us. That, like, if there's a couple that don't, I give no fucks. I literally have zero fucks to give about you giving a fuck that I sleep with a woman at night as opposed to a man. Because my marriage is better than a lot of straight marriages. I'm not going to say, and statistically, but we have a good relationship.
Yes.
So you can take your shit and shove it up your ass if you don't agree with my relationship. Bye. We have, you know what I mean? We are normal. Listen. I'm just as miserable as you are sometimes. Like, you know what I'm saying? We have the same fucking... Angie, how many times have we said that your husband and Chris are the exact same in some areas? You know what I mean?
Right.
Obviously, mm-hmm. They're different, but they are the same.
But a lot of the core issues in the relationship are the same.
Yeah,
and the same, and, like, know, little annoying habits are the same.
Yeah. And, you know, like, in our relationship, like, Chris does the blue jobs and I do the pink jobs, and that's just... It works for us. She was raised that women do everything, you know, so she knew how to fix cars and, you know, fix things around the house and whatever. I was not raised like that. We had girl jobs and boy jobs in my house. I'm not saying that that's right. I'm just saying that that's how I was raised, very traditionally. My dad did the jobs that made you sweat or were heavy, and my mom did everything else, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, my dad did the mopping. My brother did the kitty litter. My dad and my brother cut the grass. And anything that made you sweat or was heavy, they did all of that. They took the garbage out, whatever. But all of us girls, we did the laundry and the dishes and the sweeping and, you know, all of that shit. So, like, you know, I was raised like that. So I'm good with doing all that. I still make Chris's plate at dinner every single night. You know what I mean? I still serve my kids every single night. That's how I grew up. My mom still makes my dad's plate to this day. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I do that. That's what I do. But if the sink breaks, Chris fixes it. I'm not even attempting it. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not a damsel. So, like, if Chris isn't around and I got to figure some shit out, I do. I make it happen. I figure some shit out. But, I mean, Chris puts like the dishwasher together using a YouTube video. Like, she installed the dishwasher. She installed my over the range microwave. Like, that's the type of shit that I don't want to do. I will, or I'll just pay somebody to do it. But I don't. That's what she does. She does that. But she don't make doctor's appointments or cook dinner or make menus or, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So,
and she's not like cleaning the house. She'll mop the floors, yeah, and she'll do the kitty litter. But that's about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When, right. But what about, like, you said, you've mentioned, like, the boys, like, with yours in football, that situation. Has mm-hmm. there ever been a time where your kids have come to you guys and said, like, you know, or they have realized that you're, it's not, like, as a traditional, what is considered a traditional family? Like, has any mm-hmm. of those conversations ever come up?
You know what's funny? A lot of times when that happens, like, it'll usually happen amongst the kids and their friends, not so much us. And then, you know, like, we'll just kind of watch it happen and stay in the background if we can, or if they bring something to us, we talk about it. But, like, I'll give you an example. We were leaving a baseball game, a T-ball game, like Peyton's first year ever playing, okay? And we're walking out, and this was the first time it happened in front of us with him, with our youngest. And we didn't know what to do at first. Okay, so we're walking out of the game. We're in the parking lot, and the kids are, you know, they're four, okay? So they're screaming across the parking lot, bye, bye, bye. And then the little boy goes, hey, Peyton, where's your dad? And I was like froze. Okay. Cause my 4-year-old is now being asked about a dad that he doesn't have, you know what I mean? Right. And so like, I froze and I almost answered for him, but I didn't. I just was like watching him. And he goes, I don't have one. I have two moms. And the little boy goes, oh, okay. And Peyton went in his car and he went in his car. And that was it. Right. And that was it. And then there was literally, we make it more than the kids do. 100%. We worry more and make it a bigger deal than the kids do. Mm-hmm. The parents are more who I'm worried about, you know?
Right.
But no, I mean, it's been fine. It really hasn't been bad. We live in a great community though. I mean, you know,
mm-hmm.
we live in a great community. There's a lot of diversity. There's a lot of different races and ethnicities and different family types, you know. I mean, that you have people that live with grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles, and you have, you know, two dad homes and two mom homes and one mom home and single dad homes and married family home. Like, it's just, you know, I mm-hmm. think I was nervous after that first encounter when Derek was 8 that was going to be something I had to deal with. So like the next couple of times that Derek had someone over, like, I felt like I had to say to, I think I told you actually, the mm-hmm. first time, but the first time he came here, like, hey, just so you know, like, you know, we're like two women, like, we're gay, like, so if you have an issue with that, you know. And most every single person after that's like, girl, you don't even have to explain that. I don't know why you're even telling people that. Like, why?
I knew when, by the time that he mm-hmm. was coming to stay at your house, that you guys were, you know, together in a family mm-hmm. and married, whatever. But I didn't know, like, we went through the whole baseball season, and this is how much, like, I either don't pay attention or whatever, because we went through like that whole baseball season, and I didn't know that you and Chris were together. And I would
wait,
hear Chris.
I'll find out.
So, like, we were at the baseball picnic. Right.
Dawn.
And I
you
think,
found out with
Dawn. Right. And she was sitting next to me, and she goes, have you ever met Chris before? And I go, no, I don't think I have. And, you know, Chris, you always call her Chris, mm-hmm. Chris assumed, you know, naively, mm-hmm. It's a guy, whatever. And she goes, well, you're about to see. And I was just like, okay. And then Chris was walking over to you, and you guys like just kissed. And I was like, really? Like, I didn't know that. Like, and it wasn't like a, really, you know, it was just right. like, wow, I just assumed, you know, you just assume you had like a baby, you know what uh-huh. I mean?
That's and so I, funny this- because that same friend that told you that, okay, hey, Dawn, anyways, she told, this is what she said to me. She was like, Nikki, okay, look, so I've been knowing you for a minute, right? She was like, I did not know Chris was Chris. Okay, when you talked about Chris, she was like, I look at you and I just think like who she got at home. Like, I just didn't see him at the fields, like whatever. She was like, I'm like, Nikki, big black guy. But, and then she was like, and then here comes little white girl.
And I didn't, she
I
did,
laughing.
You, You just reminded me because she did tell me that too. After I seen you guys kiss, and I go, "Oh, okay." And she was like, "I thought it was like a black dude because, you know, Derek." And I'm like,
Yeah.
"Yeah, but I said, but she has a baby, and the baby's white. Like, what are you talking about? How would she
Yep.
have a?" But it was like a, that's how I even found out.
We joke about that in our neighborhood because we live around a whole bunch of old people, right? So I'm like, these fools, you know, they're nosy, and we know that now, right? Because we've lived here for 11 years. But I'm like, we was moving in here. They was like, all right, there's that girl. Wait, there's that girl. Is that a girl or a boy? There's that girl, boy. And then they got that black boy, and then they got that little white baby. I don't know what's happening over there.
Do
Like,
you
I
remember?
swear they were looking, trying to figure shit out. And that is what happens. I mean, we just have a very unconventional family, but it
You
works for us.
remember us talking when there was like a property that was like in a little town that you guys had seen or something? And I'm like, could you imagine you guys moving into like a little town where
No.
everybody knows everybody? And we
That would
would
almost
laugh
be
about it
hilarious.
because, yeah, because it would be like a reality show. Like these
Yeah.
people would be like, who are they? You know
Right.
what I mean? Like, but then they would
But
get
you
to
know,
know
he
you.
had Derek had a friend that mom, super Catholic lady, right? They raised super Catholic, and she literally came up to me. This was only a couple years ago, and she was like, "Listen, I just have to tell you that," and she loves us, right? I mean, our kids were super close when they were younger, but she was like, "I just have to tell you, like, until I met you and Chris, like, it's not that I didn't like gay people, but I really didn't understand it. So, like, I would say that I would even go as far as saying I was like anti-gay rights and whatever." And she's like, "But ever since I met you and Chris, like, you guys really are the same as everybody else." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm trying to tell people that. Like, we are the same. It is literally like, really,
The
you guys,
same type of
so
argument, the same type
exact
of
same
things.
kind of
It's
arguments."
and that's where you learn it's a relationship thing. It's not a, you know,
Yes.
like a male versus female thing. It's just a
Yes.
relationship
Yes.
thing
I mean,
across the
there's some
board.
things. There are definitely some things, perks and pros and cons of being
Okay, so
in a lesbian relationship,
tell
right?
us those and like the stereo like some th like the stereotypes that are like totally like false and true, and then with the like
Okay,
you
well, con, two periods. Okay, two attitudes, two
know.
fucking, that's a con, all right? That's rough. Okay. But like, you know, Chris is not as absent-minded as some guys can be, you know? I mean, she is still a woman, so she has that like caring, thoughtful nature to her that I don't even want to say all guys don't have, because honest to God, I mean, her brother's the same way as her. So like, he is a sensitive guy too. Like, I mean, as far as like being thoughtful and gifting nicely and, you know, whatever like that. But oh, stereotypes. Okay, so everybody assumes that because like we're both girls, someone has to be the boy. Like, there's no boy. That's the point. That's the point. There's no boy. Okay, she does do the blue jab, so I get the confusion on some levels. But like, she's not a boy. We don't celebrate Father's Day, for instance. Like, we're both mothers. We don't, there's no father. We don't celebrate Father's Day. Our birthdays are a really big deal because Mother's Day for us is like an anniversary. It's not like, you know, in a straight relationship, Mother's Day is your motherfucking day. Your husband has to do that. Your kids have to do that. It is your day. Well, in
How
our
really?
relationship, we're both mothers. So that's how my birthday is. That's how her birthday is.
Do
That's
you
your
put that in
birthday.
the con section or the pro section?
Not
I
having
have to
Mother's Day, I might have to put that in the con section. Not having a Mother's Day completely to yourself,
know.
but I don't know. I don't know. It
But
doesn't matter. Whatever.
it
It's
doesn't,
fine.
it's not a big deal because at the
No,
end of the
no.
day, at the end of the day, you're celebrating your mom anyways. You know what I
For
mean? Like,
sure.
you still
For
have to do
sure.
your mom's and her mom, you know, like,
Yeah,
so it's
that's.
not really.
Yep, exactly.
Okay,
So.
so you touched on how you hate, like, or you know, you don't hate, but like people always assume that there's like the guy. What other like annoying questions do you get like that you're kind of like,
The most annoying
okay.
question is, how do you have sex? Like, use your motherfucking imagination, bitch. I don't know what to tell you about that. But unless we are like you and I best friends, like, I'm not having a conversation about my sex life with some rando who wants to know about lesbianism. Like, No.
I think I could use, you know, everyone can use their imagination and figure out how you guys have sex. I think my biggest thing was like, can you guys ever have a quickie? That was like my biggest question to you was like, is that
How
even
long does lesbian sex
possible?
last? 5,025 hours. I know, it's real life. No, it's not really a quickie. I mean, unless it's just one of us, because you definitely can do that, you know. But
Right.
yeah, no, no.
So that's the most like annoying question that you
It's
guys
just
get
the
is
most
like,
obnoxious one, I think.
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I probably can think of 20 whenever I hang this phone up, but I don't really know that. That one is a. I don't get a ton of it, but like, yeah, who's the guy? That's annoying. You haven't had the right dick. That's annoying.
Oh my God.
You know, anything that insinuates that, like, if we would just be with guys, we would be with guys, that is fucking annoying. That's
Yeah.
annoying. I don't care who it is. And even like, I don't know. People are like, oh, you, I'm not gonna go there right now. But yeah, we'll do that in a different, we'll do that in a different podcast. Woo! Sorry,
Calm
guys.
down.
We might
Calm
do that in a paid podcast. My brother listens to this one. He's already gonna hang up. I'm gonna be like, make sure you only listen to that for about 20 seconds. Okay, no, 60, 60.
Right.
No,
Did you?
yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have like almost no gay friends anymore, right? Okay, because here's a stereotype that's a little bit true in our community, right? So you hear all these. I don't know if you guys know, but lesbians are known for being, they call them U-Haul lesbians, like motherfuckers that meet a girl and like literally tomorrow y'all are living together and about to get married, like,
Oh,
or
okay. I
like
never
the
heard that
next day.
term.
Like,
So I was like, what is
it's
that?
fucking nuts, okay? And it really does happen. It really does. And it probably happens in some straight relationships too, but the shit happens all the time in the lesbian community. There's a reason for the term U-Haul lesbian, okay?
Okay.
And then like, but we used to hang out at the bars. Like, there was one gay bar when we were younger, that we used to hang out in all the time. And it was just cool because we could be totally ourselves. Like, even before we were comfortable, like, you know, if we're at like Tiger Stadium or Comerica Park now, you know, we'll hold hands walking through there. You know, it's no big deal now. And I'm not making out with Chris anywhere. And I hope that you ain't making out with your spouse anywhere. I don't have anything to be gay. That's being fucking respectful of normalcy. You know what I mean? Like, I don't, we show PDA now without an issue. But back then, like when we were hanging out in the bars, that was the only place that I felt comfortable, like, to kiss Chris in front of anyone or like hold her hand or, God forbid, like smack her ass or, you know what I mean? Do more than just a peck. Like, we were just completely comfortable. Everybody in that motherfucker was gay and didn't care if anyone else was. Like, it was great. We just felt normal. So we hung out there a lot. It was just a comfort zone. The problem with the bars in general, but especially these lesbian bars. Sorry, fellow lesbians. I'm not trying to out y'all, but I'm just saying, they're just fucking drama. Like, drama. Like, Chris and I have a great relationship. We've never had infidelity issues at all. Okay. It got to the point where people are like coming up to me, like, do you know Chris is over there talking to blah, 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 and vice versa. And it was like, all right, these people are literally just want to see us fucking fight. Like, they want to just, like, nobody wants to see you completely happy. So we had to get away from the people that didn't want that. You know what I mean? Then we started, you know, we had our real friends that all along, but started dropping some of those people. And we don't have a ton of gay friends anymore. So that makes it a little bit hard trying to explain stuff sometimes to Peyton
So,
because.
like, is it hard? Like, I mean, I don't know, like, if it's like, if it's looked at weird sometimes if like a husband would go hang out with another girl, you know what I mean? If they
Yeah.
had like a close, like, is there jealousy like that with girlfriends with being in a lesbian relationship? Are they ever
I
like,
think it
nah?
really depends. For me personally, like, I have a group of three friends that I've known since I was 12 years old. I have a group of three friends that I have known, you know, since I was 12 years old too. They're just different group. And then I have like the friends that are from the city that I live in now that I like you know, that I met after. Those people who have been around, like, I mean, most of you guys have been around since before I even had Peyton, you know? So you guys have been there. Like, you guys, I like those people. No, we would never get jealous of those people. You know, if she wanted to go hang out with her sister and somebody, like, no, I would never get, plus her sister would fucking flip out worse than me if she ever did something inappropriate. You know what I mean? Her sister's way more jealous than me. So I don't, but like for me, okay. So Chris doesn't have, Chris's friends are dudes. Like that's who she relates to mostly. She does have a couple of girlfriends, but like, not really like where she's like hanging out. So like when like she goes out with people from work and there's a few girls that go out with them. I don't mind them girls. I don't care. Like they don't bother me or whatever. Now she did say that they closed a bar one time and they wanted to go to this other girl's house and they wanted to go swimming and shit. And you know, like it was like everyone's drunk after hours. Not everyone's keeping all their clothes on or have a full bathing suit. And she basically,
and girls get a little friendlier with other girls. Drinking. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So she was like, nah, yeah, I ain't getting in there. Like, I'm not trying to sleep on the couch tonight. Like, that's disrespectful to my wife. So, like, she knows. Like, I don't know those girls. If she was getting into that same pool with the same length of clothing or whatever with you and Nicole and Candy and Angie and, you know, all of my super close friends, I wouldn't give a shit. Not one fucking shit. But I don't even know these girls. Like, and that's rude. You don't do that. You can get in the pool with a whole bunch of dudes. Go get in the pool with them. Right. That's like Ronald. Like, would you?
No.
Would you ever in your life?
No.
It's the same thing. It's really the same. The only place it gets a little bit different is like I have girlfriends that are legitimately just girlfriends. And there's no need for jealousy there. But I could see in a relationship where you didn't come with those same friends and you were trying to get close with another female, even if they weren't technically gay, where that would be an issue. But I'm not a super jealous person. I am awesome. So if you want to cheat on me, then you better hope it was good, because I'm like, I don't know. I'm not watching every little thing. You know what I mean?
Right. So, and you have to have that trust in 100%. You know what I mean? Like, and exactly, like she obviously did it the right way. She was like, nope, not getting in there. Yeah. And she told you about it. Yep. So, I mean, like, that was all good. So after all is said and done, and like, you finally came out to like, you know, your family, and you came to terms with everything. Did you feel like a weight was lifted off of your chest that you didn't even know was there?
Yes. I knew it was there. Oh, I knew.
You did?
Because I am an open book. I wear my heart on my sleeve. I mean, if you know me for 20 minutes, you'll know half my life story. Like I'm a talker. I for me to hide any part of me like that I wasn't ashamed of. I was, you know, I had come to terms with it. You know what I mean? Like I didn't want to be gay. So I tried and tried and tried. And I was like, you know what? This is just who I am. And I'm still a really good person. I still would give somebody the shirt off my back or, you know, help anyone any way that I could. I'm still morally and ethically, and I'm still a good person. Like I just had to be okay with other people not being okay. And here's where I'm at with that. This is my final, like, this is where I'm at with the not being okay is I can have an acquaintance or know somebody from football or baseball or PTA or whatever, and know that they are not okay with gay people. I'm fine. Like, you don't have to like me or my lifestyle. Just don't be rude to me. You know what I mean? Like, I can't make you respect me, but a damn sure ain't gonna let you disrespect me. Okay? So, like, I'm not gonna... those people cannot be my friends, though. Like, you're not even gonna be my Facebook friend. If you publicly disagree with same-sex marriage, then you cannot be my friend. Okay? Like, you can be my acquaintance. I will absolutely respect your... I respect you. I mean, you know what I mean? I disagree with your opinion. I can respect, just like you and I. I mean, we just debated earlier, like, you know, like, how can you possibly like Trump? How can you fucking not? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're different. I can respect that. But when it's my personal life like that, if you're racist or you have a problem with gay marriage, you got to go. I can't be your friend. I can't be your friend. You're going to have to do that over there in the acquaintance area, not in the friend area. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So like, wave from afar, just like, hey, how you
but
doing?
That took me becoming okay with other people not being okay. There was a lot of years where I tried to convince everyone to think like me, because it's just so unfathomable to me that there are legitimately people out there who don't agree with my marriage. Like, I struggle with it, because it's literally just about our freaking sexual orientation, because it's not even about our marriage, because our marriage itself is better than some marriages that they do agree with. Like, you're cool with someone getting divorced 17 times or 4 times, but my marriage is against your whatever. Okay. All right. You know, so like it was, I argued it for so long, Ange. I mean, probably the first six, eight years I was out, honestly. Anyone who disagreed with it, I would just get so hyper about it and so upset. And, you know, like, how can you say that? You're not even gay. Like, how do you even say, like, I would just get so upset. And then I just got to a point one day, I'm like, you know what? There is going to be fucking idiots in this world that think they know something. And they just have to keep on being idiots. They don't want to learn. You know what I mean? Like, Anna, they just want to keep thinking what they're thinking, and I'm not going to change their mind.
Right. And that's the thing that is hardest for, I think, everyone across the board on a lot of things, is you can't change a person's mind if they're not willing to open it up to see it from another perspective.
Right.
And that is, I think, would solve a lot of issues in today's world.
For sure. 100%. 100%. But, you know, so I can't be your friend. We can be cool, though. Like, I can say hi. Just because you're not my friend doesn't mean you're my enemy. Like, I want to see you eat just over there, not at my table.
Exactly.
You know what
exactly.
I mean? Exactly. There's a meme that said that. That's for real. That's how I really feel. I don't hate very many others. I do have a number one on my purge list. If I ever get to purge. So that's for a future podcast, so stay tuned.
Because now I'm about to text you like, who is number one? Mm-hmm. I want to know this.
You're gonna be like, oh, okay, I can't out that right now, that way. Sorry.
Yeah, no.
I will in a future podcast.
Yes.
But yeah, so that's my coming out story. I mean, it's not, I didn't have shitty people. I mean, we are very fortunate, and I hate to even say that we're fortunate in that sense, because I feel like everyone should. When Pride comes in October, I'm going to wear free mom hug shirts, and I'm going to go hug all these kids whose parents don't love them because they're gay. And I really am doing that at Pride. That's so sad to me. Like, how you could disown your kid because of that. It's just sad. We have so much support. So, like, I don't have, like, my coming out story isn't like this amazing comeback or anything, because I didn't have to lose anything to come out. Like, my family just loved me no matter what. You know what I mean? Even the ones that don't like it, they still love me. And like I said, to my knowledge, I only have one uncle that really doesn't love it. And he said it right to me. So he, you know, whatever. I don't care anymore. I don't.
Anyone's family does disown them for that, it's their loss. It's not your problem. It's their problem. It is their problem, not yours.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Mom now. Go take your medicine and drink some water. And I love you. You know.
Ditto. Well, thank you for sharing your story.
Yeah, no problem. I hope you guys enjoy. Hope it helps somebody.
Please remember to like and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Not So Supermoms, and like, subscribe, and rate us wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thanks, everyone. Talk to you soon.
Bye.